It may have been Donington Park GP, but here we give the grades A star to you. It's the Donington Park Driver Grades.
Hello and welcome back to the British Touring Car Podcast. We are back once again to have a look at our predictions and the grades for this weekend just gone at Donington GP. Russ, of course, joins me once again, and we've had some tough thinking on these grades this weekend, haven't we?
It's been, I would say, probably the hardest to grade across the board this weekend, because there have been, I was kind of down on it on the review, but actually looking back at it, it's been a sort of a classic BTC weekend where there's been just a big spread of results. And I say, I've been a little bit down on the racing action and whatnot, but actually when you look at the results, this is what a classic race three used to be like in particular. And actually a lot of drivers, the main candidates for title aside, had a pretty up and down weekend, which is quite usual for touring cars. So that was good.
Yeah, it's going to be good to see the spread of results we get this weekend. But there is, of course, one place that we nearly always start every weekend, and that is with Mr. Ashley Sutton. And I'm kind of running out of superlatives for him, really. Him and that car together, they're almost unstoppable, aren't they? He gets an A star this weekend purely because he's extended his lead once again in the championship.
Yeah, took pole, took first with such an impressive drive in the wet. Took second with a fading brake pedal, which is pretty good to keep behind Jake Hill when you've got brakes. That, and particularly given what happened to Dan Kamish in qualifying, that would definitely have been in the back of his mind all through race two. And then in race three, he kept his head in the madness. That I managed to finish fifth, which meant he was ahead of all of his title rivals, which on the reverse grid is all you can ask for. You're right. It's a matter of when, not if. I think he might win it at Silverstone. We shall see. But yeah, as you say, it's an A-star. There's no debate, is there?
No, not at all. Dan Kamish, on the other hand, obviously had that massive accident in FP1 this weekend that made the car 20 or 30% shorter or whatever the statistic was. Obviously didn't take any part in the rest of the weekend, so we can't really give him a grade. Has to be a U for this weekend.
Yeah, Dan Robottom gets a C. Dan. He's got pace. He's definitely got pace. And I think that he's in a car and a team, perhaps for the first time, which is ultra competitive. Does have a mistake in him, does have an error in him. It was a weird weekend for Dan Robottom. An eighth, a seventh, with decent pace. Involved in a little skirmish with Jake Hill in race one. Although, we discussed that on the main review podcast, so I won't go into that here. And then retires in race three after clipping the tyre barrier and causing himself a problem. Well, didn't retire. He finished 22nd, actually, but as good as retired. Some question marks about how he handled that incident in race three as well. The tin foil hat conspiracists are out suggesting that he deliberately took out Tom Ingram and chose then to decide to have his problem. That's not the case, but I think with Dan Robottom, there is always a rick in him, and he has been involved in incidents a little too often this season.
The fact that people are even suggesting that he doesn't even deliberately need to do anything along those lines, because I think Sutton is that much of a class of the field this season, that the inevitable will happen. Moving on to Sam Osborne this weekend, joint Jack Sears winner along with Andrew Watson, and an encouraging weekend for him. He started to show a little bit of pace in qualifying, qualified fairly well, and then also raced really well this weekend, keeping himself out of trouble.
Dare I say, and I know he's only scored 15th for 15th and a 9th, but I think this might be his best weekend I've ever seen from him.
It was consistent, wasn't it, as well?
Didn't get involved in any problems either.
Make good progress and seem to be keeping the pace of the top boys on that reverse grid. He kept up with them and making his way through the pack.
I know he obviously got a podium here earlier in the year, so it might just be a track he clicks with. But I thought this was perhaps the best and most consistent I've seen him drive in the touring cars, which is interesting. And I think that, he had a good weekend. Tom Ingram is next up and he gets a B. Look, it's what he does all season. He keeps himself there. He gets a third. He gets a very angry first and he gets a seventh. In any other weekend, in any other year, that would be a really good weekend and solidifying his championship charge. The problem is that the guy he's fighting is just relentless. So it's a B for Ingram. I'm not sure he could do a lot more. Obviously, race one change of position with Jake Hill's. I've not seen a single soul who agrees with it, apart from presumably Jake Hill. I can't find anybody willing to defend that decision from the marshals, which I think speaks volumes, particularly how tribal touring cars can be. And I say, any other season, Ingram is winning the championship and winning it well. He just
easily as well. Yeah,
he's just struggling because Ash Sutton is just so good. I think the only thing I could say for Tom, and to sort of give him any sort of G up, is that he is some 60 points clear of Colin Turkington, which I think is very commendable. It's just a case that he's just in this ridiculous situation where Sutton's better. It's as simple as that.
Yeah, unfortunately, he is a B for him this weekend. Moving on to his teammate, Chilton. What looked like a fairly promising weekend. Obviously, he had that great result winning last time out at Donington Park at the first round. And I thought we were going to see a little bit more from him this weekend, but it kind of petered out. And the reverse grid race three started on the front row. I thought, okay, this is his chance to go and show us what he's still got and what he's still made of. And he just fell through the field along with that start line error of his that is almost unexplainable.
It's almost unforgivable as well. You're on the front row of the grid. With respect to Dan Lloyd, you're up against a team hard car that has struggled all year round. You'd expect Chilton in that position to win the race with the Hyundai underneath him. Perhaps, at least be battling with cars behind for the win. And you say to them, mess up the start and end your race before it's even begun. It's... And particularly if you notice the mistake and then don't get the rectification right, that's pretty damning, really, unfortunately.
It was mad. It was definitely mad.
Right, Ronan Pearson next. A really weird... I think he probably had the weirdest weekend of everyone to a degree because didn't do particularly well in the Jack Sears, but then also scored points in all three races, including quite a good comeback in race three. We had to pit early on to sort his flapping bonnet out and managed to come back through the field to 15th. Showed really good pace all throughout the weekend, qualified really well in for race one. Unfortunately, wasn't able to translate that into a high points finish. Bit of contact throughout the weekend as well, as expected. But yeah, it's a C for Pearson. Could have been more, but I think that this has probably been, and I know it's recency bias, but one of the strongest years for rookies. All the rookies that have come in have done really well, and Pearson is amongst those.
Yeah, he's looking comfortable in the car now as well, and getting that comfort and consistency will all build, hopefully, to seeing him there again next season. Moving on to Halstead then, he had his traditional trip to the gravel a couple of times this weekend, but he was sort of keeping pace with Jack Boutel at the back of the field. He certainly wasn't off the back this weekend, which is pleasing to see. He just needs to cut out the errors.
Boutel was, as we'll get to, wasn't particularly good this weekend.
No,
if that's your yardstick, then...
I know. But progress, sort of. Kind of.
Colin Turkington, the first up of the BMW drivers, he gets a B. Look, Colin's actually had a pretty good weekend. Again, quite solid. A fifth, a fourth, and a sixth. Any other year is a pretty good round.
It's a quiet weekend for him. Times.
It was quiet. And again, in the main review pod, I have questioned his racecraft deck. Again, he doesn't seem to want to get his elbows out of Jake Hill, perhaps understandably given Hill's reputation at times. But a typical Colin weekend, banking the points. In most years, that approach would be fine. As I said before on this podcast, many times that approach doesn't work anymore because Ash Sutton is a freak and Tom Ingram is ridiculously good at maximising what he's got. And as it stands, there are two drives, if not three, I think you can include Hill, who regularly just get better results now. It's just that simple.
Yeah, I think I do wonder whether Turkington's race technique, as we could call it, is waning towards the end of the season. Now he knows that he's probably out of the title hunt, being so far behind, and he's more willing to let Sutton, Ingram go and fight and do what they want to do. So I think fourth, fifth and sixth is probably the best kind of results that he might get until the end of the season.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. I think the other thing I'd say is that obviously he's won the bulk of his championships in the era of Matt Neal, Jason Plato, Gordon Shedden, where they were a bit more robust, whereas now we've got drivers that are not... Plato would risk it all to get a win, no matter what the championship was doing. He would risk it all for a win. And so would Matt and Gordon, slightly to a lesser degree. Ash sometimes does that, but not as much as he used to, whereas Ingram won't. But Ingram's happy to maximise getting that second position. And as I say, I think Turkington's style when he won them was perfect because he had lots of robust drivers willing to risk it all for an extra point. Whereas now, I just think the style of racing has changed. He's been left behind a little bit.
Yeah, certainly. Jake Hill also gets a B this weekend. Obviously, controversy in race one, but it was a second overall. Took a podium in race two as well. And then suffered a little bit of damage in race three, but finished relatively well. He still needs to finesse his technique sometimes, though.
I couldn't help but think of the come dine of me enjoying the money, Jane, with him taking things. Yeah, we discussed on the main podcast. Not going to go back in that here. Yeah, B's fair. For me, he's out of the title hunt.
Okay.
But yeah.
Yeah, that's fair.
Stephen Jelly, I think you said it in the preview, to your credit, it'll either be a Jelly masterclass or a Jelly disasterclass. And I gave him my disappointment, bad surprise of the weekend in the review podcast. Didn't know he was here. Didn't know he was here this weekend.
I feel partially responsible for it, having jinxed him. Obviously, he had that high in Knockhill where he drove really well, and if it weren't for the final race incident with Hill, he would have probably been the top-scoring BMW that weekend.
Yep.
Not top-scoring BMW, but the best-position BMW. And then it all just comes crashing back down to earth, doesn't it?
It does. And I think... to be fair, Jelly, he did score twice.
Yeah.
You know, so in two of the three races, he scored well, but he qualified so badly.
Yeah, he did.
Which ruins the weekend. He didn't look comfortable racing in the pack in races one. Yeah, it just wasn't a particularly strong weekend for Jelly, particularly when the rest of the team had quite a good weekend around him. That always magnifies it that little bit more.
Yeah, you mentioned the rest of the team. Morgan takes home a C this weekend. A fairly Morgan-esque, what kind of weekend we would expect from him, sitting just inside the top 10 around that area, battling with all the drivers in and around that point. Didn't get himself into too much trouble this weekend, but didn't set the world alight.
Yeah, couldn't agree more. Rory Butcher, he's again, what a strange weekend for Rory.
So topsy turvy.
Yeah, didn't qualify particularly well. Yeah. An 11th and an 8th in races one and two with not a great deal of pace, and then inherited a win in race number three. Now, sometimes, or most of the time, winning a race normally gets you an A on this podcast. However, it might be because I feel really sorry for Dan Lloyd, but he inherited the win, and I don't think he was winning it on the road.
No, I don't think he was winning it on the road, although he did build up good pressure over the last four or five laps. Unfortunately, it wasn't that pressure that caused the mistake or the break in Lloyd's car. It was just unfortunate, and I think that's quite why he isn't getting an A this weekend.
Yeah, but pleasing to see him back near the front.
Yes.
Hopefully he can take that momentum into the rest of the season.
Yeah, a whole load of consistency from Mr. Collard this weekend brings him a B, finishing inside the top six, I think, for every race. Very encouraging to see, and he's refined his driving this weekend. It's not perfect, certainly, but it's certainly on the upward incline.
Yeah, and the risk of repeating myself time and time again just on Collard, in any other era, he'd have probably got two podiums this weekend.
Yeah.
He's just unfortunate that he's got those guys ahead of him who are on a different planet. But yeah, Collard, who's been a little bit of a meme at times, has actually probably been the best Toyota driver throughout the season, and he's really impressed me this year, to be fair.
Yeah, he has.
Sorry, Gamble, next up, SC. He has sort of had the quietest season of all the drivers and did okay this weekend. A 13th, a retirement for them, battle back for a 13th. Looked a bit more on it. It's been a bit of a disappointing season for Gamble in that third car, whether it's because Toyota are struggling to run three cars, whether it's because he's not quite gelling with the car, I don't know. I think he is better than what the results are showing. But yeah, he's done okay this weekend. Again, slightly overshadowed by the fact that Butcher and Collard have done that much better.
Yeah, very much so. But good to see that fight back in race three. Moving on to Cook then. Grumpy old Mr. Cook once again gets to see this weekend. None of the One Motorsport cars looked at the races this weekend, and he even said himself that some of those races they turned into testing sessions. I don't know whether that's because Barry Plowman has gone and engineered for another team this weekend and not told them where to put the right things. But yeah, a real struggle for One Motorsport as a whole this weekend.
Yeah, agreed. Next up, of course, we have Aidan Moffat, who gets a D. Again, reliability has been his buzzword for the weekend, yeah. Whether it be punctures or fires, whether it be anything else in between. Not a good weekend for Moffat. One to forget. A bit of a season to forget. It's never really happened for him. Cook has had the moments this season. Yeah. Moffat just hasn't, and it's a shame that the car hasn't quite performed to the level that you'd expect it to.
No, very much the same for Jade this weekend. Seems to be getting kicked when she's down at the moment. Obviously having a few excursions and the car not performing to its best, basically.
Yeah, next up then, the first of the hard drivers, Darrell DeLion. Yeah, not the greatest of weekends for him. The Coopers looked awful this weekend. Even in the hands of Lloyd, it looked poor until he managed to find something in race three. Yeah. DeLion comes away this weekend with no points scored, two retirements. Yeah, it's a shame, but that's where hard are at the minute, unfortunately.
Yes, very much so. You mentioned Lloyd there, and if it wasn't for the failure in that final race, if you'd won that final race, it's probably an A for him this weekend.
It's a B if he wins the race for me.
But you could see in the videos that I've seen post-race how hard he'd worked and how much emotion that he poured into that final race. And for the car to just let him down on that final lap is absolutely heartbreaking. As you say, the car was struggling up until that point in the weekend, so I think the best we can give him is a C.
Agreed. Boutel, it seems almost harsh, but he was the worst of the hard boys by some considerable margin. Yeah. Pace just wasn't there this weekend for Boutel for whatever reason. Look, hard have got a million and one problems at the minute. Some public, some not public. I don't think the Cooper's working. I don't think they're particularly doing well as a six-car team. Yeah, I don't know what the matter is, but Boutel can't. Just this weekend, it was alarming how far off it he was.
No, I was amazed by how far off it he was this weekend. Patterson again struggled this weekend, only a C for him. Yes, he did manage to get into the points, but only just. And he was battling for Jack's ears, but never really getting towards the top end of it this weekend. Just struggling.
Yeah, involved in an incident with Moffat as well, yep. Which we discussed on the main pod. I still think it's a racing incident. You think slightly more his fault, but yeah, anyway. Creasy, a D. I'm not on the Creasy hype train, I'm sorry. Is it the car? Is it the driver? Is it a bit of both? Don't know, but his return hasn't been exactly tumultuous, has it? He's scored once since his return now in nine races, and this weekend again, the Cooper didn't look good. 20th, a 19th, and a 17th. I might still be hurting that it's Bobby Thompson he's replaced, and I accept that there's a level of that pain in my heart on that one. But yeah, it's... Creasy is an established driver who's done a lot of racing in his career in various sports, and it's just not clicking at the minute.
Yeah, the only thing of note that he did this weekend was run wide in qualifying and went through the gravel. Apart from that, I wouldn't have known he was there.
No, really nice guy, works really hard, but it's just not working at the minute.
No, certainly isn't. On to the PMR boys. Double. Slightly disappointing out of the three of them for me. Thought he was going to be challenging more for the Jack Sears win this weekend. Car looked a little bit off the pace for some reason. I don't know whether he struggled to find a setup or what, really. But he certainly didn't have the pace of Watson, and that's why he gets a C this weekend.
Yeah, he didn't score any points this weekend, which is surprising given how well his teammates
very
did.
Very much so.
Yeah, I agree with you. You mentioned Watson, and he gets a B. He is the joint Jack Sears winner for the weekend, which is what his job has got to be. He scored twice this weekend, a 9th and a 11th, which is really good. Raced quite well in the pack as well. I mentioned earlier in the record that I've been impressed by the rookies this season, and Watson is one of those that's definitely impressed me. Raced really nicely, looks very good in greasy, difficult conditions. It's a B for him this weekend.
Same for Aaron Taylor-Smith this weekend. Took a podium in the final race. I did tip him for a sneaky podium this weekend, and somehow he managed to get away with a push-to-pass move in that race. But there we go. You rise and falls with the pitfalls of the motorsport.
What I will say as well is that I think if Lloyd goes earlier in the race, i.e. has the breakage earlier, I think Aaron Taylor-Smith wins that race.
You think so?
Yeah, he was right with Butcher the entire way, and I think he would have I think at the pace. We'll never know, and it's complete hyperbole from me. But yeah, I obviously don't want Lloyd to go at all. But I think if Lloyd had gone a couple of laps in, I think Butcher would have been under real pressure from Taylor Swift for the race win.
That's fair enough.
But great to see him back on the podium after 7 years. Really good to see Aaron Taylor Swift back at the top.
Yes, very much so. And then Huff this weekend, obviously not there, had prior commitments, but it does look like he may well be back for Silverstone and Brands for the end of the season. But we shall see. We know what Team Hart can be like.
There are whispers he will be, but who knows? Yep,
we'll move on to our predictions now then, and see how well the scores have changed. Yeah.
Well, we can all tell where this is going, but the smugness has crept into Sam's face, eyes, voice, and general demeanour. Go on
now,
then.
I must say that after FP1, I was going, oh no, my weekend is going to turn to rubble. The fact that I obviously had Kamish for pole position, as did you, and Kamish to take a race win, to hear that he wasn't going to be racing for the weekend, I was like, oh, I'm automatically onto the back foot here. However, Sutton and Ingram did, of course, take a win each this weekend, and Butcher taking the final win. But I very much missed out on the Jack Sears this weekend, going for Doble. Just wasn't quite at it. Certainly wasn't at the pace of Watson, and surprisingly, Osborne.
Yeah, thanks to Jake Hill, I didn't get a double winner because he made Ingram so angry that Ingram was going to win that. I think if that hadn't happened, then I think Sutton would have got a double race win. But there we go. Ifs, buts, and maybes. I like you, went for pole for Kamish. Got a race win with Sutton. Cook let me down big time in the reverse grid race. And Andrew Watson, I get half a point for because he shared Jack Sears honours with Sam Osborne this weekend. So I get half a point.
We did look into the possibility of if Watson had taken two wins and had a really low score, that having two wins would be better if they were on the same points, but they did score a 1-2-3 for each driver this weekend, so obviously we felt that it was fair to give half a point for that. On to your predictions as well this weekend, mate.
Cook outscores Butcher. Yeah, Butcher decided that this was the weekend he wanted to suddenly wake up and be a challenger, so thanks Rory. The tip for the dark horse just likes to really prove me wrong this season, doesn't he? That's where it comes there. One outscore Hyundai. It wasn't far off, let's be honest. And safety car each race. Well, the touring cars are boring, so there isn't a safety car each race because the touring cars are now very, very boring.
That we weren't getting a safety car in race one, especially with the conditions as well. Certainly didn't come out as much as I thought it would this weekend. And then the hairpin overtakes, I think that's a little inexperience of the track. I think I might have had one up on you there, having seen racing at the track before.
Yeah, and I kind of just thought that overtaking has been a premium this season as it is. And I kind of just thought it wouldn't be that much there. Knock Hill, if you take Knock Hill, for example, this year, the hairpin there is normally a magnet for overtaking. It wasn't that busy this Knock Hill weekend. I used that as logic and I got it wrong. So, yeah, no points scored there. So 1.5 points for me this weekend.
Moving on to my predictions. Lloyd outscored all his teammates combined. Only just considering that retirement in race three. If he'd taken that win, then it was a surefire home run. But I think he only scored, 5 points this weekend, and obviously Patterson got a few. So it was a closer run thing than I was expecting. Toyota had an excellent weekend at their home circuit, and One Motorsport really didn't do particularly well. And I've just noticed that I've spelled Motorsport wrong.
You don't get the point then, because technically there is no team called One Motorsport, so therefore you don't get it. Sorry, no point.
And
there,
then Morgan, I think if you find in the recording, I did say One Motorsport, but we'll go with it. And then Morgan outscoring Jelly this weekend. Yeah, almost foregone conclusion where Jelly's qualified down in 20th. Morgan had a decent weekend and Jelly was nowhere. And then the hairpin overtakes, I think I stopped counting when it got to 10 in the final race. I knew I'd taken home the point, and I was quite happy to have nearly, not quite, a full house on my predictions. Didn't get it bang on like you did at Knock Hill, was it?
But
happy with that this weekend.
Yeah, so you should be, because that's done to the scores, is that coming into this weekend, I led 25-21. coming out of the weekend, I lead 26.5 to 26.
Oh, two rounds left, mate. It's going to be a tight run thing, isn't it?
It is. And by the way, it was Croft. I got the gravel running through turn one, Croft, right?
Yeah.
On 7.7 for that one. Yeah, it's going to be a tight run thing. Now, with two rounds to go, half a point in it. This is the closest it's been all season. You haven't led all season, I don't think. So it'd be just like me. I'm thinking back to fantasy football last year. I threw it away at the last.
Snatched it at the last.
Oh, you have led. You've led for quite a lot this season, actually. I take it back.
Oh, have I? Okay.
If I was to plot a graph, you were... Well, I can quickly take you through it. You led at the end of round one. No, I led at the end of round one. Apologies. You led at the end of round two. I led at the end of round three. You led at the end of round four. And Chops around and five. I then... Croft is where I went back in the lead, big time.
Big time, yeah.
Yeah, get the gap at Mockhill, but you've closed it here. So, interesting, last two rounds to go, we'll see who takes home the all-important crown, bigger than the Wingfoot Award. It is obviously the prediction award.
Can we get a trophy for it?
Next year, maybe. Next year we can get a trophy in.
That's fine.
Do you have any final thoughts of the weekend as we head into the mini autumn break?
I liked the little bit of variability that came with the different layout at Donington this weekend. It was good to have a few different vantage points that we haven't had before. And although you may not think so, I think it added to the racing a little bit more as well, especially having that little bit of controversy at the end of race one with Hill and Ingram. That wouldn't have happened if it was on the normal Donington layout. And it's produced a talking point, certainly, along with others.
I agree with you. I'd rather go to completely different tracks and just do different iterations, personally. Yeah. But yeah, it was good. It was better than I thought it was going to be. It's not been a great season. I don't think it's been a classic, particularly for many reasons. But yeah, this was a more interesting weekend, as it were. My final thought is a thank you or anything else, that my partner was waving this all weekend in various ways. So thank you to her for giving us a little bit of
the mistake flag.
Yeah, the tiny flag. It was a pilot to see if people saw it. So if you were at the track and you did see the flag, drop us a line below so you did see it. And we can then potentially go for a big one. But thank you very much to my other half for being our advertising promo girl for the weekend.
Any audio listeners, please do go over to YouTube so you know what it looks like, and you can watch out for it at Silverstone, which I think we will both be going to, all being well.
Are you going, are you?
Hopefully, as long as I've got the money. But yeah, and then next season we'll work towards a bigger flag, I think.
Yeah, flags and trophies. That could all be arranged, kind of. Yeah, so into the autumn break now. We will be doing a little bit of content, but we are going to have a couple of weeks off as well. This has been a long, hard campaign so far, particularly with weekends coming thick and fast and going to so many back-to-back as well. Yeah. But we will be getting a 10 minutes with Is the Touring Cars in Crisis?
Maybe.
A 10 minutes with. And we will be doing, of course, the Knockhill vlog as well. And we're back with the Silverstone preview a week before the Silverstone weekend, obviously. In the meantime, if you've got any comments, any feedback, anything good, bad, in between, ambivalent, please do comment below. If you're listening on audio, then please do give us a 4-star or 5-star review. Please do put a nice bit of wording in there. It really does help us out. I'm just going to have a quick look to see if anybody who has done that, who we can give a quick shout out to.
Yeah, please do remember to subscribe on YouTube as well. And don't forget to get the bell on, because every time we release an episode, you will get a notification to say that we've released one.
Yep.
And you don't want to miss out on some of the funny content that we give.
Probably not. No. I'm just trying to see if we've got a recent 5-star review. We have had a fairly recent one in June from Bob the Melon. So thank you, Bob the Melon, who wished he had found this podcast sooner. So if we are now catering to the fruit market, that is very good indeed.
Well, you can always go back and listen to any other podcasts you've found of ours on any platform.
Absolutely. So, yeah, please do help share the pod. We do it for the love of the game, as it were. It really helps us out. It blows our mind that even one person listens. So anything you can do to help the pod keep growing and help us keep delivering the content really does help. So thank you for your support so far this year. Keep the support coming. We really appreciate it.
Bye.
Bye.